Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah. Declare.
Shepherd of my soul,
shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made a right choice to listen to your voice. Wherever you
praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Imagine if that were actually really, really true for you, that you have made a choice to listen for his voice, and wherever he may lead, you follow. Of course, it's a nice thing to sing, but it's a more meaningful thing to act out, and not as easy, because for so many people, God will tell you something, and for you it's a suggestion, so you can modify it a bit. You feel the liberty to modify what the Lord has told. Even when you're sure he has told you. You know, somebody was telling me earlier this week about somebody who said that, you know, the Lord told me to go to a certain fellowship, but when I reached there, they have too much drama, so I left. Now, when you hear somebody saying that, you know they are never going to achieve the fullness of their potential. So do you think God is going to say, oh, so they have drama? I didn't know. That's why I told you to go there. I mean, how can you be so stupid? He's God. He knows everything. So if he tells you, maybe you were the solution. You see, but if you really, really, really want to achieve your potential, you have to take your opinion out of, unless you're not sure. But you can be sure about something, and you're sure that God wants you to do it. And then you will go and modify it and say that he said this, but it can also mean this. So somehow, you end up doing what you want. And of course, that doesn't change. Outwardly, everything looks okay. But when you look on, let's say, some day in the course, or maybe even on the day of judgment, I'm thinking maybe if you don't see it before then, you see it on the day of judgment, and you see, if I'd just listened to him, I would have ended up there. And you were supposed to be a big, important person. But because you are more intelligent than God, you ended up somewhere. And you somehow survived. And of course, because somehow you modified what God said. Praise the Lord. But then, of course, when you come here, you will say, wherever you may lead, I will follow, and that sounds wonderful. But the practice of it is not as easy as the singing of it. That's the honest truth. But if it were, you'd see that there is no instruction that is not an invitation to a promotion, especially the difficult instructions. When obeyed, they actually open a door for a promotion. And then you realize that somebody goes, one person goes from glory to glory, and another person stagnates. And 1 year passes, another one passes, another one passes. You know, so that's the thing about. And then, have you ever noticed that the worst thing you can do is give somebody advice which they have not solicited for? Like, you really see they need the advice, and you see you can help them. You know how they can be helped. But somehow, the worst thing you can do is offer that help unless it has been asked for. And even asked for, it has to be begged for. Because just because somebody asked doesn't mean he really wants to know. By the way, people are complicated. Now, the people who need the advice the most are the ones who take it the least. That's the honest truth. Now then, there will be those who need something that you have, but they don't want to hear your advice about anything. So they come and they say, I want you to help me, maybe with something, especially with money. Maybe they're in a tight corner. They offer them advice, you'll see. They will be offended. That will be the end of, you know, something deep inside them is turned off by you offering them advice, which they need. That's why they need the money. If they could take advice from people, they wouldn't be in that place begging for money. But because they first lock themselves out, close themselves out from advice, and now that's how human, even that's why even God will not, he will say, seek me. So something which he can tell you simply, do this, and it will change your life. He will wait for you to fast 3 days. I'm giving an example. Because after you fasted, now he knows you're serious. If I tell you are going to do it, you're not going to try to modify it. You see, so you go and seek him. And he has the answer, and he's waiting. He's just, he knows he can sort you out. But he has to first be sure, are you serious? Are you just asking? Because you'll be like that person. But there's a lot of drama. Stupid. But that's stupid. You see, eh? So that you fast one day, you fast the second day, on the third day, he tells you something small, which he could have told you even before fasting. But how was he going to be sure that you really want it? Of course, you know, you have to show that you want it. Because mostly people don't want it. If he just weren't giving word, if God just weren't giving people words, they would even start devaluing his word. You have to value it enough to say that, I'm seeking you now, I need an answer. Things have failed, this thing is not moving, there's something that is not shifting, I need an answer. So you go to him. But even then, some people will still not listen to the advice he gives them. I know somebody, a friend of mine, who fasted 3 dry days because he had reached the end of the wall. And he fasted 3 dry days. And he's not somebody who is, you know, so into, you know. But then, at the end of it, he had a very clear dream of what he was supposed to do. Then he came and told me that, what does this dream mean? I said, the dream is so obvious. It means go and do ABC. Now it was in a totally different direction from the one in which he had in mind. Now he had plotted this business idea, he had done this whole thing, calculated this thing, and he was fasting for God to tell him something about this. And God told him something completely off. And when I told him, he was very disappointed. Then he said, that's not what I wanted. Me, I've made up my mind, I want to do this. You should have eaten the 3 days. You wasted your time. So I took a note. I remembered it. Because I know what happens. So I took a mental note of the fact that he had actually blatantly rejected the word of God. Just like that. Now, I watched the place where God told him to go. And the thing he told him to go and do. It was so clean like this. It became big. Somebody else went and did it. It became big. It became a huge, you know, ecosystem. And he continued struggling in the business which he had wanted God to bless. And it never worked out. Then he went to another one. Then he went to another. Then he went to another one. Then at some stage, do you remember when you fasted and God told you to do this? And you dreamt, not God told you, you dreamt this. He's a very carnal person. The word God told. But you know that God tells you to dreams. So he said, yeah, yeah. I said, do you know that person did it? Look at them right now. He said, yeah, but at the time, man, I didn't. Then why did you bother fasting? You see now, so when you open your heart and when you open your soul and you're clear, clean, what God tells me I'll do, he will tell you. For the most part, you won't even need to fast. The fasting is just to put you in a place to see, are you serious? Do you really want a solution from me? Or are you still in that place where you're sharper than God? And somehow you know what to do better than him. And of course, so many people go through, you know, that phase. And then when God comes out to reveal himself to you, it is in a specific way the first time. And usually after that first time, he does not depart very far away from the way he spoke to you the first time. So that becomes almost a blueprint of how he's going to communicate with you. Now, there might be variations and a few changes here and there, but for the most part, not entirely, but for the most part, it will stay within that lane of where he first met you. That place, which the Bible calls Shiloh. Shiloh, the place where you first met God. It's called the place. Shiloh means the place of peace. You see, when you're at peace, when you've settled down, and now you're ready to listen, then the first time, sometimes you are not even actually seeking God, but something happens, and it is your first introduction to the Lord. And that usually is the way by which, throughout your life, he's going to be introduced to you. I'll give you an example from the scripture. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Start from verse 20. It says, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Now, Samuel was tutored, was an apprentice of Eli, who was a priest. And Eli was somebody who offered sacrifices, you know, and burnt sacrifices and helped the children of Israel in that regard. But the scripture says, in his time, there was no widespread revelation. The word of God was very rare in Israel. It says that at the beginning of this chapter. The word of God was extremely rare, and there was no widespread revelation in Israel. And yet Samuel grew up among that, being trained by a man who had never heard from God. Okay, actually, he didn't even, you know, there is no whatever of him hearing from God. So his priesthood duty was to help people offer sacrifices. But then the priesthood was changing, and God was moving it away from that into a prophetic priesthood, which is what Samuel did. And then the Lord appeared to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, that became what Samuel did throughout his life. He had the word. Go to the next verse. And the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. So Samuel, his revelation was the word of God, the word. And his strength was the word. His word, you know, came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines, and they come to say, and go ahead, go to verse 2. No, there's the other verse which I want, which says, he never let his word fall to ground. I think it's in the verse 18 or 19 of chapter 3. So you see, him was, God appeared to him through his word. His word went out to all of Israel, and God never let his word fail. Now, God appears to different people in different ways for different purposes, depending on their purpose. Now, for instance, God appeared to Joseph through dreams. And dreams was all he needed to become everything he wanted. So he dreams of greatness. Then his greatness comes when he interprets Pharaoh's dream. Everything in his life is dreams. Now, there are people here, even among yourselves, for whom God has appeared, first appeared in Shiloh. This is not, so Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. So his speciality was the word, his words. The word of God was revealed to him. The Lord made sure Samuel's word does not fall to ground, and then his word went throughout all of Israel. Now, Joseph, it was dreams. And then, everything is done at the level of dreams. Now, the people I know who the Lord appeared to in Shiloh through a dream, through dreams, and every time you need direction, the dream will be there. Other people might fast to get a dream for you. Even when you doze, you have a dream. Because the Lord appears, even when you are like dozing in a taxi, you have a dream. And the dreams are so easy from the Lord because the Lord appeared to you through dreams. Now, you might think there are fancier ways of God speaking, but if he appeared to you first through a dream, settle for that. People have great people like Joseph and Daniel, the Lord appeared to them through dreams. And they achieved greatness just through dreams and interpretation of dreams. So, and that became the blueprint of everything they did. Okay. And so you see, somebody like Joseph, you see, there is no record anywhere of Joseph ever, God ever speaking to him outside of a dream. None whatsoever. It was dreams. And yet he was carrying the purpose of God and accomplished the purpose of God all through dreams. So now you could say, and the Lord appeared to somebody by dreams, by a dream. And there are so many in the scripture. Jacob, Israel, his first encounter of God was when he was running away from his brother. And he lay somewhere to sleep. And he's in a dream, he saw, you know, a ladder going to heaven and with angels going up. And he said, I didn't know this was, you know, the house of God. And he called it Bethel. And throughout his life, God appears to him in the dreams. You remember when they told him Joseph is alive in Egypt and says, you come to Egypt? How does God speak to him? In a dream. Jacob, Jacob, do not fear. Go to Egypt. I'm going to make you great there. It says, because it's now, it might not be exclusively, don't get me wrong. Okay? It might not be exclusive. Not that might, it's not exclusive. But it's so much easier for some people in one way, if they develop that aspect of them, to be hearing from God constantly than others. Now, for Samuel, it was so much easier for him to hear the word of God. Now, for you, it might be so much easier for you to dream. And I know people who were so swift in dreams. Very swift in dreams. Anything. You even just tell them. There's a prophet. All his prophecies are dreams. He sees things in dreams and remembers every single one of them. So when his prophesy, he said, I saw you in a dream last night. Your name is called so-and-so. You stay here. What? And he also saw that all in a dream. Now, he does not pick things up there on spot, but everything, he saw it in a dream. He picks people's account numbers and he remembers it. He saw it in a dream. Now, for even if you saw it in a dream, you would not remember it. But when you remember it, he says, this is your account number. He saw it in a dream. Now, so is it like just like that. Why? Because the Lord appeared to him in that way. Okay? Now, it might be that, and when you get your connection, what really is your connection? Where you easily, very easily connect with God. And you develop it. You don't try to have something fancier. You see, because people fancy things which they do not have. Now, for you, you might think dreams are just dreams. But there are some people who would love to have those dreams. You would want to say, I wish the Lord would speak to me and I hear him the way Samuel did. But he spoke to Joseph. He spoke to Jacob, who is Israel, through dreams. And so many other people in the scripture. So you might say, I want to see visions. You see? Now you see, Samuel, you never hear that Samuel was there and he saw a vision of angels in heaven and what? No. But Ezekiel was seeing visions every day. Because the Lord revealed himself to Ezekiel through visions. Now, they were both prophets. But the sort of prophet that Ezekiel was totally different. And it all comes from the first revelation. You read the book of Ezekiel. The first ways, or even Moses, his first encounter with God, with the burning bush. So after that, everything is supernatural at that level of supernatural. His first encounter. It follows after that same path. Now when you look at your life, or when I look at my life, I remember the first time I had a clear knowledge that this is God, where there was no doubt. Of course, he has been at work in your life for so long. But there is that one moment when something happened and you knew this was God. And that was God introducing himself to you. Okay? It's almost like you meet somebody. It's almost like, let's say, your husband meets you one day. Your husband-to-be meets you one day and says, hi, my name is, you know, so and so. And you're just meeting that day. So now God at that point is introducing himself to you. Okay? I am so and so. Now, how does he do it? In different ways. And you remember what it is for you. When you look back in your life, you might even have been, you know, as a kid. You remember something happened and you said, there is no way this wasn't God. And it was your first experience of the hand of God in your life, and you knew that that was it. Now, usually, if you follow and develop that usually follows on as the experience that will define your life in that area, and also depending on what your calling is. So the introduction will be in accordance with your calling. Now, when David, the king, meets King Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. And David has volunteered to go and fight Goliath. Okay? But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Now I want you to imagine somebody holding a lion by its beard. By the way, you cannot do that except by spiritual means. Those lions are strong. Those lions, you see that paw of it like this. One like this, you're out, totally out. They have energy in those hands. Now imagine, David said, I held it by its beard. Now he's talking about a male lion. The females don't have beards. Like a real, it's men. So I held it by its mane and killed it. Now, of course, that was God introducing himself to David in that form. And that defined the whole of David's life. Okay? And struck it and killed it. Go ahead. Then he says, your servant has killed both lion and bear. And then there is a bear. There is a lion, then there is a bear. Those huge bears, the kind of which lived in this place, and somebody goes, a teenager, at this time David was 17 years old, a teenager goes, and this had already happened, so he was listened, and goes and kills a bear, you know that obviously the hand of God was on him. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Now you see, for everybody, Goliath is a big challenge. But for David, he has been prepared already. I killed the lion, I killed the bears. Who is this guy? You see, God has prepared him, and God has already met him at that level. So he says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion. You see, you might think you are, of course he knew it was God. Nobody can be delivered from the paw of a lion in reality, unless it is, you know, by spiritual means. He says, from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Now, there is somebody who did not say that God spoke to me. No. He did eventually, later on in his life. But at that level, all he knew is that God gives me to protect what belongs to me, gives me strength to fight. So because he was called to be a warrior, and his number one duty actually, what David was called to do was, you see that place where it says, from Dan to Beersheba, that is all the place which, we read it in 1 Samuel, that's all the territory which God gave Israel as theirs, which he promised to Abraham. And it is King David who actually captured all that territory and put it under Israel. And that's what made him special, because God wanted somebody to go and capture the territory and bring it under one king. And he did that. And because his duty was to do that, he first kills lions. God reveals himself to him through lions, killing bears, killing Goliath. Now go to 1 Chronicles chapter 18. 1 Chronicles chapter 18. After this, it came to pass that David attacked the Philistines, subdued them, and took Gath and its town from the hand of the Philistines. Then he defeated Moab, and the Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute. And David defeated Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath, as he went to establish his power by the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 7,000 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Also David hamstrung all the chariot horses, except that he spared enough of them for 100 chariots. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 of the Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. So the Lord preserved David wherever he went. In other words, David killed lions, killed bears, killed Goliath, killed Syrians, killed what? Subdued what? That was his calling. And God revealed to him, himself to him like that. Because that was what he was going to, what is, now here is already king. But that was his first revelation of God in that area. Praise the Lord. Now, today I'm going to be very, very brief, by the way. So what was your first real introduction of yourself where you said, this is how God first introduced himself to me? Some people, by the way, through the word of wisdom. And other people through the word of knowledge. Now, those are two different things, two different gifts. Now, the word of knowledge, of course, you know. You know things which you've picked up spiritually just by knowing. But the word of wisdom is different. You have a wise answer for very many tough riddles. There's something which is tough, something which, and you, somehow you have the wisdom on how to handle it. And that word comes so fast. So people are perplexed. And then they come to you and you have a word of wisdom for them. And then that is the first time you realize that word did not come from me. That word was not, that's not my wisdom. Now when you develop it, it will become a strong thing in your life that people will always come seeking for wisdom from you. Okay? And you remember that guy whom the scripture talks about was David's counselor, called Ahithophel. The guy whom the scripture says, when you would inquire from him, it was like inquiring from the oracles of God. Okay? Now, there are somebody, and it doesn't say that the man would hear from God. No, he just had wisdom. And his wisdom was so good that when you asked him a question, he would answer it, and it would be as if you asked God. So now that one also had his what? Something. Now, somebody has a word of wisdom. Now, those people who used to, you remember kings in the Old Testament used to have wise men sitting next to them. So when somebody would bring an idea, they say that the wise men would say, yeah, that's a good idea. So they discuss it among themselves and say that's a good idea. So it says the advice sounded good to, let's say, to Pharaoh and his servants, to his wise men. Like when Joseph went and told them about collecting 1/5 of the produce. And the wise men say, yeah. So they surrounded themselves with wise men, sort of advisors. But that's something which is given by God. And what people don't understand, the word of wisdom is actually a gift in the one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a very, very powerful one. I remember one time a man of God came to me. He was struggling. He had been, you know, he's called in the prophetic. He had been struggling a bit financially. And so he was thinking that maybe I should go and get a job and do this church thing as I get do a job. And he had been debating that all throughout the day. And then, in the evening, he came and we met somewhere where we were, you know, having a cup of coffee. And at that time, I was still doing some journalism work here and there and what, but I was also doing a bit of Watchman. Not a bit, I also had the Watchman ministry, but this, I was still doing some journalism work. So he came and he had convinced himself, now look at Kableta. You know, for him, he's not like, you know, like me, at least for him, he has some income elsewhere outside of serving God and what. So somehow he convinced himself. So he was thinking, man, I studied, let me go and look for a job. And I pursue this, my prophetic call, as I work. So he came one day and we sat. And then he sat. And just out of really nowhere, I started saying, you know, one of the worst things that can happen to a man of God is when God is developing something in you, and then because you're broke, you decide to go and get a job. He said, what do you mean? He had not told me anything of what he had been thinking. He did not tell me any single thing. As soon as he sat down, that's the first thing I said. Then I said that, now look at it, like you, I know things might be tight and what and so on, but they will not be tight forever. Now, if you really want to lose out on your call, you go and get a job. Then I even started giving examples of people whom I knew, who were called, who were powerful, who went and got jobs, and they somehow lost their ministries. Then I was talking and talking and talking, and I was like a really verbose person, which I am not. Maybe I'm a bit of. But I kept on talking, and the guy kept quiet. He kept quiet. And I was wondering why he was keeping quiet and just looking at me. So I kept on explaining. I said, now, like, you know, the other person, I know him, he used to be, you know, he was on the right path. Something was about to happen. Then he just lost it and went and got a job. And yet he was not called to go in that area and what. So when I'd spoken for like 20 minutes, nonstop, without him interrupting, even when I would pause, he was quiet. He just looked at me. Then I continued talking. Then afterwards, when I finished, I started feeling uncomfortable talking to somebody who is not contributing. So now I kept quiet and looked at him. And he was still in some phase. They said, you know what, Kableta? You are very prophetic. I told him, why do you say that? He said, do you know what I've been thinking the whole of today? Then he told me all of those things. Now, that's what they call the word of wisdom. Okay? Something, you just have an answer coming out, which you might think is natural. I'm wise like that. No. It's actually a word of wisdom. Okay? And you see it demonstrated so many times even in the life of Jesus, of course, you know, where somebody comes and there is a tight place, something tight. They put you in tight corner and you always have a wise thing to say, you know. So they come and ask him that, where do you get this, the authority to do these things that you're doing? In other words, we don't know you to have gone to school to be a Pharisee, so you're not supposed to be a teacher. But people are calling you teacher. So where do you get the authority to do these things? Now they are questioning his authority. Now Jesus knew at that point what they were, you know. Then he also knew that these people, the people who were there, who were listening when the Pharisees were questioning him, respected John the Baptist as a prophet. So he turned and said, let me ask you a question also. Where did John the Baptist get his authority? Is it from man or is it from God? Then the scripture says, he knew if they had said from man, the people would stone them because everybody had accepted John the Baptist as a prophet. And yet they themselves had refused to accept him. So he put them in a tricky place. So they said, we don't know where I got the authority from. Then Jesus says, neither will I tell you where I get mine from. Now, that was supposed to be a very tricky thing. Okay? But that was now the expression of the word of wisdom. And it happened so many times in, you know, in his life. The most common one, which everyone knows, even people who don't read the Bible, is the one of when they said, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar? Now, of course, you have to understand that the Jews hated paying tax to Caesar because they didn't acknowledge the Roman Empire as being over them, yet it was over them, and they had to pay taxes to them. But it was a very, very uncommon position. That's why tax collectors were hated. They were like, you know, agents of the oppressor. That's why they are considered to be the most wicked people. Yeah, the people who come and get taxes from us, which we do not want to pay. So they say, is it lawful for us to pay taxes? Now, if he says, go ahead and pay taxes, then the Jews will hate him because they didn't want to pay taxes. If he says, do not pay taxes, then he has broken the law. Then they say, Caesar, Roman soldiers, come and arrest this man. He's telling people not to pay taxes. So they have thought about their question properly, carefully. And they have come to put him in a tight corner. Then he comes out of it by the word of wisdom. So now, that some people are, that is the way God has revealed himself, reveals himself to you, where you have a word of wisdom. Now, let me tell you, some people, it is business. You see opportunities which other people don't see. Do you know God can reveal himself to you through business? And I know people who they will never come and tell you, I had a vision of whatever, flying, what, nothing. No visions, nothing. But when it comes to business, they are always on point. They have the word of God and the anointing of God for business. And they will see things which nobody else sees. And God revealed himself to them by business. And as long as they are in business, it's impossible for them to be wrong. Even when they are wrong, they are right. You see, when you're in your line of calling, even when you're wrong, you're right. As long as you're in your place of calling. The people they will see opportunities. Then they say, we know we can do this, we can do that, we can do that. And somehow, they are. Now, there's somebody whom I know like that. Okay, not somebody, one. I know a number of people like that. And one time, one of them was asking me a question. Do you think I should do this and this and this? I said, no, why are you asking me? When you do things in the line of business, you're always right. Because, you see, God has revealed himself to you in that area. And then you will step into a place which nobody else sees. Where everybody sees a roadblock, for you see opportunities. And God reveals that side to you. And God is so many things. You know, eh? He can reveal to people so many things. He can reveal himself to people through so many different ways. Even sports, even what things which you don't think as which you think are secular. There is no secularism with God. He calls people to do all these things. Okay? So now, somebody has this eye for business. There is nothing they do in business. They will scarcely ever tell you that this did not work out. And somehow, when they come out of business, they become very ordinary. But the first time I witnessed this, there's a gentleman who used to be one of the best footballers in this country, who has played football in this country. Now, those days I was a sports journalist. So I used to meet this guy, and he was a very, very proud man. These guys who always sing there, you know. He used to call himself the great man. And he was kind of that. So when I would go and watch him playing football, I would wonder what sort of brain he has. Because he would see things which nobody else sees. Now, he was playing football when he was a bit old. Past, you know, the actual youth. But he would score goals almost at will by just noticing a few things. And he would spend like almost half an hour on the pitch as if moving around. And then he would go and pull a move. So one day I asked him, how did you see that? You know, like there are small things which he would do which were extraordinary. I can't explain to you. Otherwise, this would be like a sports school. But things which were extraordinary. I say, how did that man see that thing? But somehow he would do something and pull off and score winning goals. And when he wanted to score, he would score. Like, and you knew if he wanted to score, he would score. And the team which he used to play for, I used to support it. So as long as I would see him on the pitch, I know things are good. Because he was a craftsman, you know, like a thief whom whatever you do is going to pick your pocket. He was that sort of person. So one day I asked him, but how did you see, you know, that? Because it was a game where he had been marked out, tightly marked and everything, but he still managed to score. And after doing nothing for like 80 minutes, he scored the winner. So I asked him, how did you see that? How did you manage to, you know, spot that? Then he told me that I was looking at the goalkeeper and I realized every shot they give him, he does not hold it firm. It falls there. He holds it on the second time. So he said, I'd seen him doing it like 6 times. So I said, now that's where my goal is going to come. Meanwhile, all that time, he's doing nothing else. Because he was not young. Like, you know, the other people are running around. For him, he's there, crafting. Then on this one time, he saw a guy going to shoot. He started running very fast towards the keeper. The keeper held the ball. It failed there. He just put it back. I said, and now, it was not by chance. He has been studying the whole thing. But now, let me tell you, outside of football, I've never seen somebody more dense. You try talking to him about any other subject. But when he was on the pitch, he was Socrates and Aristotle combined. But now, take him off the pitch. He would say very stupid things. So I realized, this one, you just talk football. Otherwise, you will be offended. But when you spoke football, you would see that there is nothing he does which is ordinary. Nothing. Everything has been, you know. So I would keep on asking, Nee, how did you see that? He said, I saw that guy the way he was running. That, you know. Let me just explain to you one small thing. There was one instance where his team was chasing a goal. And then he's standing here in the center waiting for a cross to come in. You people know football, so you know what I'm talking about. He's waiting for a cross to come in. Then, before the other guy crosses the ball, he runs away from the goal and runs and leaves the goal behind like this. And the other guy crosses the ball, and somehow he does not bring the ball to where the goal was. It was a short ball, but he made it there and did something weird and scored. Now, I told him, how come you left here? Because people wait for the cross in the middle of the goal. you know, to nail it in. How come you ran? Then you know what he told me? He told me, I saw the other guy, the way he was running, he was not going to have, the ball was leaving him, so he wasn't going to have enough energy to bring it to this side. So I had to go and meet it to that side. That's almost, like, it was too much intelligence. I said, so you were seeing all that. Now, that's how people, now, but, talk to him about any other subject. The guy was dense. Now, the Lord revealed himself to him through football. Now, there are certain things, of course, he didn't reveal him. He was just talented in that area. Now, there are certain things where God reveals himself to somebody through a specific thing, and you know what yours is, and you pursue it, and you perfect it, and it is your, it's all you need for success. Now, you'll not be like Ezekiel. Maybe you will, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be seeing chariots of fire and what. No, for you, you just have to be a dreamer like Joseph, and you end up on top. Okay? And that's all you need, because that's how God revealed himself to you. Now, the Lord revealed himself to someone through by the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm saying this as I'm hoping that somehow you scan back and see the place or the area where it is so easy for you to hear from God. Now, that's the place you develop and perfect and grow. And that's all you need, because God knows this is all you need. You see, eh? Samuel did not need to see visions. He just had the word of God. So that's all you need. And all your dreams. And they are so powerful. And they are revealed to you. Everything, the most powerful things in your life are revealed through dreams. I mean, I'm saying it might be for you. Now, you hear somebody say, the Lord spoke to me in a loud voice. He may speak to you in a loud voice, but he doesn't have to. He has something where you, for you, this is where you connect with him. And when you want an answer, the dream will be there. Very easily. Amen? And I've seen people like that. And I know people like that. Who dream even when they're half awake. And they have a powerful dream. At that point, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, I said I'm going to be brief. I've finished. Because it's Holy Communion. Sing a song which is relevant. The Lord, may the Lord reveal himself through a song. By the way, also, have you ever seen people who can compose music? And something takes them over when they are in music. And they are very ordinary outside of singing. And God has his ways of dealing with people. Anyway, so show us that God has revealed himself to you through music. Start now.
It reaches to the highest mountain. Goes to the Lord. Strength from death to death, it will never lose its power.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this bread and this wine. And we ask that you sanctify them. Sanctify them for this purpose of Holy Communion. As we do this ordinance, which was commanded us by the Lord Jesus Christ on the night when he was betrayed. When he took off the bread and took off the wine and gave to his disciples. And through it, we proclaim every blessing that is ours, that Jesus died to have. And this is the bread that comes down from heaven, that we may eat of it and not die. For this bread gives us life. This bread and this life and this wine give us life, give us wholeness, give us health, and open our eyes to receive revelation. And as it was on the road to Emmaus, when the disciples of the Lord were walking, and Jesus came and walked with them, and they did not recognize him, and they walked with him. But when they reached where they were going, and they broke bread and took Holy Communion, then their eyes were opened, and then they realized that it was the Lord. Now, Holy Communion can be an opening to a revelation of what we've been saying about where God reveals himself to you. So may the Lord strengthen that area where he revealed himself to you at Shiloh. Shiloh, the place of the first meeting, the first place where you met him. And may the Lord, through this communion, open your eyes to see the revelation of him in the way that he wants you to see it. And as his disciples were on the road to Emmaus, who took Holy Communion and their eyes were open, so are yours here this day open as we take of this Holy Communion in the name of Jesus. So get the bread and receive of it. And as we partake of this wine, which is a representation of the blood of Jesus, we receive of everything that Jesus shed his blood for us to have. We receive of divine health, divine wealth, divine revelation, and everything that the Lord Jesus Christ intended for us to have as we bring to remembrance his death in accordance to his command. In Jesus' name, now you receive. Gloria. How are you? I'm seeing good news coming to you very soon, which you've been waiting for. Good news in the area of a job. And like really good, which you've been waiting for. And so I was there and I just saw that.
Thank you.
Okay, that's what I wanted to say. Judith, how are you? Is everything okay? Eh?
Yes, Papa.
And may the protection of God be upon you.
Yes, please.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, please.
And you established.
Amen.
And when there is a change, when there is a shaking, yes, when the shaking is over, you end up on higher than where you were.
Amen.
You
Amen.
End up higher in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Papa.
Okay. Yeah, I see now my Ian. Today you're unusually smart. Somebody can easily mistake you for a gentleman. I'm joking. What's up? Hey, you got a
Yes, I have.
You were blessed with
a new baby boy.
With a new baby boy.
Yes.
Okay. So maybe this baby boy is the reason for the new level of what? born outside?
Yes, yes.
Where?
Cyprus.
Cyprus? Eh?
Yes.
That's an interesting place to have a kid. Why Cyprus?
Her mom is studying from there.
Okay. Wonderful. God bless you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're a gentleman. We don't just mistake you or what. Praise Glory to God. God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.